Hey, y'all, it's your girl, Claudia Jordan. We are back with TGIF. We're here to spill the tea and break down the biggest headlines in the news and on social media. So sit back, relax, and get ready to sip on this hot tea. Please welcome Al Reynolds. What's up, Al?
Hey, what's going on, Claudia? Happy Friday.
Are you good?
I hope so.
And please welcome my stepson, Armand.
What up, y'all?
What's I'm just going kidding. On? Inside joke. Inside joke. What's up, Armand?
How are you? You're trying to get me in trouble.
What's up, pops?
Hey, Al Day. Come on. No, I'm good. How you guys doing today? Oh my God. Okay, we're gonna be goofy today on the show.
We are. It's Friday. We're gonna have fun with it.
Okay, you're right, you're right.
All right. Any plans this weekend? Y'all doing anything fun this weekend?
Yes. Oh, okay. I'm actually doing an auction. I'm calling an auction this weekend. Can't wait to share that with the soulmates. I'm calling an auction for autism. And it's actually an incredible story of a young Black male who has a child who has autism, and he's raising the child on his own. It's an incredible story, and I can't wait to call the auction to help raise money for them.
Oh, good luck. I hope you raise a whole bunch of money. All right. Thank Armand, you. What you doing this weekend?
I don't know. You know, I'm just kind of going by, you know, whatever sounds good this weekend. You know, I'm chilling, so I'm available for whatever, you know. Oh, I like that.
Down for whatever. Okay.
Yeah, I'm free.
I start a film actually tonight. I have a night shoot. It's called Do It for the Gram. And I actually get to unalive some people. So they're not kids this time, like the last movie. So I'm moving up in age group. So it shouldn't be as offensive. But I can't wait for y'all to see it anyways. All right. Are y'all drinking? I can't drink because I got to go to work. But are y'all drinking tonight?
I'm taking a break tonight. I'm drinking good old 100% natural spring water.
I don't believe that water. Yeah. He already acted. Look at his face.
A cup of vodka.
But actually, get his face. That is
this is my fourth show today. So I've been drinking margaritas. So
listen. Thank you.
Thank you. Drink water.
I know Al Reynolds. Okay. So I met this version of Al Reynolds. This is who I know right here. Armand.
Yeah, I'm having lemonade today.
Okay. Cool. All right. Well, let's get into these topics. Amanda Seales posted an emotional video after coming across a blog with the headline, Amanda Seales is not a victim of anything but her own hubris. Take a look at her response.
What the fuck is wrong with y'all? Three pieces from three publications that are supposed to be about uplifting Black people, which is all I have dedicated my life to doing. What hubris do I have? You people literally cannot stand that someone has studied and is speaking on what they study, that someone has read and is speaking on what they read. You can't stand that someone loves us, so much that their passion is so exemplary and is exuding through the phone that it touches people who literally have never felt love that much and they don't know how to process it. That's what you're feeling.
All right. What are your thoughts on Amanda's remarks? And can you relate to her frustration? Al, what do you think?
Oh, you know, we can definitely relate to her frustrations. I just feel like, first of all, my definition of hubris and her being offended by it is different. Hubris means, you know, having excessive self-confidence. And I think she does exude excessive confidence. And this is the deal. You can't be an activist and expect people to like you. You can't speak in the spaces for the people who don't have voices and expect that people are going to always champion you. And unfortunately, she's trying to marry her being an activist with her being in entertainment and in Hollywood. And the two just aren't able to mix, because if you want to exist in Hollywood, you can't always be as frank and as real as Amanda Seales is. Now, I've never worked with her, but I'm only telling you from an outsider looking in. Now, there are undercurrents about her attitude. Now, you know, Claudia, in Hollywood, an attitude would just ruin your entire career. It would derail you. So I can't speak to that. But what I can speak to is that when she does talk about the African-American issues and the issues that we go through in life, she has my attention. Now, what she's like to work with, what she's like to deal with, that I can't speak to. But this I will say, she has a reason to be upset, because if she wants to be liked and she wants to be accepted, and especially from Black publications in which she speaks the most into, I can see why she's offended.
All right, Armand, what do you think?
I kind of agree with Al a little bit. It's like, first of all, you can't be that loud and boisterous and think that people are not going to have an opposing opinion as you. It just doesn't work. Like, people are going to talk about you all the time. So to think that everybody's going to agree with you, it's not going to work. That's never going to happen. But right. Two, in this article, they had kind of got her together, though, and they outlined bullet points. They were just calling out some of her contradictory or problematic statements in their opinion, you know, in regards to things that she said. You know, they talked about how the fact that she was saying, if you buy Jordans but don't have a passport, then you're lost. Or if you buy Jordans but then don't have a credit card, then you're lost. And they were basically saying, like, girl, everybody doesn't really want a passport, or everybody doesn't, you know, desire credit, or maybe credit is not really one of those things that are designed for Black people to get ahead. Like, there's just other things there. And they were feeling like, basically, like, she's projecting her own privilege onto other Black people. So don't get upset when people call you out on that and then start trying to play the victim. So my thing is, I understand why she's upset, but she's really in no place to get upset. It's other people's opinions. You have all these opinions, so other people are allowed to have an opinion about you, period.
Claudia, let me ask you something, and you can speak to this. I feel like if you are a smart, articulate Black woman in Hollywood, or say mixed race or biracial woman in Hollywood, they don't know what to do with you, right? And people don't know what to do with you because, you know, they want to support you, but they don't really want to support you. They want you to feel smart, but they don't want you to feel too smart. Like, do you experience that at all? I feel like you do. I feel like that's probably one of the struggles that you have, because you're so smart, you're so clever. You see it before it's coming, but you are good, though, at monitoring how you talk about it, or monitor how you push back on it. Am I wrong in reading you that way?
No, you're not wrong. I totally understand her frustration. And I also think she's also a light-skinned Black woman. And some people don't think a light-skinned Black woman, they think they automatically assume that you're biracial or whatever, and that you don't have the life experience to speak on the things that you speak on. And I think that kind of gets in the way. And I don't believe she's biracial. I'm not sure if she is or not, but who cares? She is an advocate of the Black community. You cannot say she's not. And I get you may not like the delivery. I get you might not like the packaging, but that is something that, as a Black woman in entertainment, they don't like you when you speak a lot. The more I talk, the more I was hated. When I was quiet and in music videos, I had like a 90% approval rating. As soon as you start talking, it goes lower and lower and lower, because you have more opportunities for people to disagree with you and not like what you say. Then they go point to, well, you did this and you did that.
Right.
Even with the example you gave, Armand, I hear what you're saying about it's not for everyone. But if you look at the intent of what Amanda Seales was trying to say about wanting Black people to have better credit and prioritizing, I don't think that's a negative. I don't. I think that means, like, you actually want your people to be in the game. And a lot of us are not in the game. And a lot of us also, especially the younger folks, do not like being told. No, you know what? Let me take that back. It's not even the younger folks. A lot of people do not like being told about themselves. They don't. They already think they know it all. Even as they're failing in life, they think they know it all. Amanda, people can say you're brash, you're harsh, you come across a certain way, and they have a right to their opinion of that. And I feel you. I get it the same way. And there's a lot of other women that get that as well.
But can I just say this real quick?
Let me just finish my thought. You cannot change that. But your heart is in the right place. Your heart is in the right place. I don't know if you can temper your delivery. And I don't even think you should. But I get your frustration, because it's like a thankless job to get attacked by the same demographic that you fight so hard for. And I don't know how you do it, actually.
I just want to land here and then we can move on. But I mean, from reading the article, it looked like to me not only was the journalist who wrote the article a woman, but she was also light-skinned. So I don't think that has anything to do with it. I just think that she doesn't agree with Amanda Steele's stance.
Well, there's a lot of pick-me attitudes out there. You know, there is. You know what I'm saying? Like, she's saying what she thinks people might want to hear about this lady. And then that's a great way to get people on your side. That's like when women constantly take a perspective.
Well, I hate that. And it's funny, though, Armand, that you picked up on that. That's so funny that you picked up on it. But, you know, that's also a skew in which what that platform is trying, you know, to speak
to. Who's their audience?
Right. Who's their audience? So you gotta really think about that too.
But why can't it go the other way? Why does it have to be she's a woman, so people are coming down on her? Maybe I just don't agree with her delivery. Maybe she kind of contradicts herself a lot, or maybe she thinks that she's better or elitist in trying to teach us. Maybe I want to buy Jordans and I don't want a passport. Maybe I don't have the money to go and travel. Maybe traveling, you know, to other countries is not a desire of mine. I like my Nike sweatsuits. I like my Nikes. I don't have to want to have a passport, and that doesn't make me a loser.
Claudia, go to the next thing. We ain't got enough time.
If you prioritize Jordans overseeing the country, you kind of are.
But that's not fair.
I'm with Amanda Seals.
I told you we do not have enough time. Go to the next thing.
Hold on, Mon. You got to stamp that passport.
I know. I got a passport and I got my Jordan.
This should be with us.
But I'm just saying, that's what they were calling her out on. And Amanda, every time she gets called out, she plays the victim, like people are attacking her. And it's just like, girl, you can't be this loud and boisterous and feel some type of way when people don't agree with you. It's just that simple.
Okay. I think there's a part of this that I feel like you've missed. Like, I didn't miss anything. She's talking about that she is an advocate of the Black community, and the least support that she's getting is from Black publications. So, you know, just like the publications or the platforms that will bring Candace Owens on or will, you know, talk to other people but won't bring her on. That's what she's saying, in essence, Armand. She's saying that she's upset.
No, I understand that, but these people are saying that's not her only problem. You get what I'm saying? Like, these people, they don't have to bow down to her. She picked out one article that she was frustrated by.
I know we have to move on. I will share a tweet that I got one time on my DM. They said, you know what, Claudia? If I was you, I would stop being such an advocate for Black people. They don't like you. They're not going to accept it from you. And I said, I hear you. I see what you're saying, but I still don't want to change my intent. Some people are built to take that criticism. I do think she was upset, but I do think she will be able to still move on, because it's in her heart. It's in her blood. You may not like the delivery, and I can give you that. You know what? You don't have to like it, but you cannot doubt her intentions. I think she has good intentions.
I refuse to doubt her intentions.
Okay. Meanwhile, people celebrating Candace Owens. This is opposite year, I swear. Right? We have an update on the lawsuit that Kevin Hart filed against his former assistant, Maisha Shakes. In the newly released documents, Kevin is accusing her of eavesdropping and listening through the walls during a conversation with his wife about the Las Vegas cheating scandal. What are your thoughts on this update? Armand, let's go to you first. What do you think about this?
This is just so messy. You know, actually, in this situation, I kind of feel bad for Kevin Hart, because it's just like, damn, you can't even be having a conversation with your wife, whether you're lying or telling the truth or whatever the matter is. You got somebody listening through the walls. Like, I don't think I would ever want that level of fame or success to where I can't even have people working for me, because everything I do is being documented or recording. So I definitely think he should sue her and try to make sure that, you know, she pays up for that, because she really, that's a breach of privacy, in my opinion.
Absolutely. Kevin is suing Maisha for making false and defamatory comments about him during her interview with Tasha K. Al, what do you think about this?
I think this is a sticky situation. I don't think he's going to get anywhere with that defamation character. I think this is simply a play to discredit her in the media, given that he is the celebrity that he is. She heard what she heard. Okay. And whether the wall was thin or not, it wasn't thick enough to hold back what you and your wife were fighting about. She's your assistant. She's in your house. You should have taken that conversation outside of her earshot, period. So don't be upset that you're feeding her information that she's now using against you. You did it.
I think there's an argument to be made that if you hire someone as your personal assistant, it should be understood. It's included in the deal.
I feel like Claudia, I promise you, I feel like I just hired a new one. I feel like that you don't have that liberty anymore. Everybody is able to turn on you now. That's how I feel. So I move in these streets like anything that I let them hear, I'm going to automatically assume that it's going to be told. Right? Nowadays, I don't know about you guys. If somebody hits me in the DM with some weird stuff, when I answer them back, I automatically assume that they're going to share it with the world. That's just how I move based on the environment that has been created right now. Kevin Hart is way too successful to be this sloppy, especially about your divorce information. I mean, your cheating information. If I'm going to have a conversation with my wife about any indiscretion that I have, that needs to go in a separate part of the house. You got a big old house. or outside around nobody because you're not safe anymore. And look, I'm right, because what did she do? She took it and took it to Tasha K because of a problem she was having with
I get someone in your DMs because that's what they love to do. But if you hire someone to, a personal assistant is like, it's like your doctor, your assistant. You know, that's where do we draw the line? Do we have to start like not sharing stuff with our priests when we give confessions?
Because clearly,
like your own house, you're in your own house and they're listening through a wall. Not like he just had an open conversation in front of her. Listening through a wall to me is a violation of privacy.
That's crazy.
I agree.
Now, I'm not going to lie. If I heard the two of them in another room talking about a cheating scandal in Vegas, I would have had to scoot on over to that wall too to see what was being said. I ain't gonna lie.
I probably would have did it too.
I'm not gonna hold you. The same thing.
But I would have said it did no interview on with Tasha K about it. Like,
if I got paid, the hell I wouldn't.
She'll never work again. Who's gonna hire her?
It was close to Christmas time, too.
See, now I'm scared to have another person since I don't want to have one. I'm done with it. All right, coming up, I'll do it myself. Coming up next, sports commentator Emmanuel Akeko is under fire. And later, we have your tea fact of the day. Keep it here. We'll be right back. Welcome back to TGIF. All right, y'all, during a post-game press conference, LSU Stars basketball player Angel Reese delivered an emotional interview and told reporters that she is not happy while discussing alleged death threats that she's been receiving and claims of being sexualized on social media. Now, sports commentator Emmanuel Akeko caught wind of the interview and stated, "Angel Reese, you can't be the big bad wolf and then cry like the cowardly dog." Okay, do you think Angel Reese is misunderstood? And have you guys felt like that? Armand, what do you think about this?
Now, this situation, I feel for Angel Reese, because I just feel like she's a young girl. She's growing. I mean, she's a great athlete. And I just feel like a lot of people are coming at her because the way that she presents. And I don't think that is fair. And I think that she's going through the growing pains of being successful, being a star, being a breakout star. And now people are trying to tear her down. And unfortunately, it happens to a lot of Black young women. So I just think that she'll be strong. She's going to make it through it, but she's just going to have to go through the growing pains of becoming a star.
All right, Al?
Yeah, Armand, I think you're right. I think, and it's been less than a year. It's only been a year, and this woman has been thrust into this limelight, and I think she's getting a first front row seat of what it's like. And all she knows is being a great athlete and, you know, being a college student. But now you are a renowned celebrity. You're famous. And I think she's learning what that comes with. And it's usually, sorry, guys, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but it's usually not in the positive that you think it always is. Someone's always attacking you. Someone's always talking junk to you. Someone's always trying to find like how they can get underneath your skin. They're not always uplifting. And you know, this is what it looks like and feels like. So I do have empathy with her, Armand, and you're right. I think we should back up off of her. I think all of us, and I know, Claudia, you're good at this, we need to put our arms around her and let her know, hey, this is to be expected. You know, people like you have gone through it, and you have to block the noise out. You have to block the noise out, because the higher you go, the louder the noise. And I just feel like I just want her to stay focused. We know that she's decided to go to the WNBA. She's not going to go back to school. And we are expecting amazing things from this incredibly courageous woman.
I'm glad you guys gave her positive words, because the Black media, the way they have been, especially Black men in media, the way they've been tearing this young sophomore girl down and gloating that they got beat by the white girls is filled with racial undertones, sexist undertones, and it's not cool, y'all. This is a sophomore in college. So for her to just know how to just navigate and just be so good at media training and all that is just a silly thing to just even expect. That's why she's frustrated and said, I'm out of here. I'm not coming back for this and this thankless job. I'm going to the WNBA and get my coins. This woman, this young lady actually had the weight of the world on her back. You know, no, they said they got spanked. I saw something with Paul Pierce saying that LSU got spanked. Well, they lose by 7 points. But when LSU beat Iowa last year, it was by 15, almost 20 points. That was a spanking, and you didn't hear it. It's almost like, and the way I've seen some of these black male commentators jumping on them like, you can't cry. We have grown men that lose NBA championships or lose games.
And
that
won't do their press conference because they're crying.
Exactly. So let this little, I'm sorry, I don't want to call, I'm not insulting her by saying little. Let this young lady be emotional, because this matchup felt like the championship. And people were like, because they was, it's like when black women dare to be arrogant when they win, or confident, or mm-hmm. or even brag for 1 second, they're demonized. Like they're these ghetto, ignorant. But when Caitlin does the same thing, it's nothing. But when Angel does it, oh, she's being ghetto and she's gloating. But the white girls did it too. Okay.
No, I think that's exactly the point. When a woman like that has confidence and she's able to put up stats, then you feel like you can attack her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because not only is she confident and arrogant, but she's actually good, you know? And so men are even intimidated by that stuff, because men will sit at their desk that could never do what she does, but have only dreamed to be able to do something that she's done. You know what I mean? And they want to try to tear her down now, because they feel as though, you know, you're confident. You should be able to handle it. You can't be the big bad wolf. You think you bad. You think you all that. And it's like, girl, no, let me just shine and do my thing. So people, they see confidence, and, you know, people are jealous of confidence. I'll say it happens to me all the time.
One thing that I do want to share.
People don't like it. They don't like it.
Yeah, it's so true. You know, one thing that I do want to share is that I do want her to think about it, because, you know, the WNBA salaries are not as large as what she's getting now in her NIL deals. In her NIL deals, she's getting $1.3 million, guys. Mm. So, you know, when you go to the WNBA, the median contract is $76,000. So, Angel, I just want you to think about it. I know that you're getting a lot of hate. I know that you're getting a lot of pushback. But think about monetizing this opportunity, because if you stay one more year in college, your NIL deals could, you know, to the tune, the way they're talking, could be close to $3 million. And we're not sure that you're going to actually get that at the WNBA. So just think about it, sweetheart.
Top salary in the WNBA is $225,000. I wouldn't do that job. Absolutely not. $225,000 to play all like that. And you, girl, keep doing your thing. I think you go back to school. And then now, next year, it'll be a three. Like, it'll be the
yes, three.
Right. Imagine the TV ratings for that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Just saying. Yes. Leave that girl alone, man, fellas out there. Because y'all be crying over your little games, too. All right. A woman was caught on camera having a meltdown when police officers attempted to remove her from a flight. Check this out.
Let this go. Can I do that with freedom? All I care about is freedom. That's fine. I've been there before. I'm not scared. I've been there before. This is hurting my elbow. It's hurting my wrist.
Oh, Lord, Lord, Lord. What are your thoughts? And what would you do in this situation, Al? I know you're going to sue.
Well, shoot, I can't. There's nothing I can sue her about. You know, what would I do? I would just want her to get off the plane as soon as possible so I can get where I'm going. I get really annoyed on the planes when people do anything to distract us from staying on time. So for me, I would be helping them get her off the plane.
I heard that. Okay, Armand, what do you think?
You are me with that. But honestly, I've seen people laughing, but this kind of makes me uncomfortable. I don't really think this is funny. And I hate when it's black people. Oh my gosh. But to me, this feels like mental illness.
It
feels like mental illness. And I feel like she's not being protected, or she doesn't have anyone around her. Or maybe perhaps, you know, people are just can't control her anymore. And I'm just hoping that she gets the help that she needs, because she's really far gone, you know, I just feel bad more than I think that it's funny, you know. But if I was on that plane, get her off that plane, because she's finna get on my nerves.
That yellow, that was Spirit, wasn't it? It looked like Spirit.
I don't know what it was, but get her out of here.
I saw the yellow brochures. It might be. Sad. I'm with you guys. That makes me nervous when I see that, but I would probably be filming and be shady. You know, I would probably be filming and showing it, but
you
that would
definitely would be filming.
Oh, I'm definitely
talking
filming
about it on your daggone.
You would be in my story.
Your story, right.
This half of doing on this plane.
Right.
All right. E! News host Justin Sylvester recently shared his perspective on whether or not it's a trend for black gay men to have a white partner. Check this out.
when I got to a bigger city and realized that people are freer and they're dating and they are experimenting and this free love thing kind of happened to me in West Hollywood and people were dating outside of their race, you're like, oh my God, this is phenomenal. So you're just being exposed to other cultures and other people.
All right. Do you guys agree? And what has been your experience dating other races, Armand? Let's go to you.
We've talked about this on the show, I believe. But let me tell you something. He said a bunch of nothing to me. I was so irritated by this. I'm like, girl, you like white men. Just put it. And the reason why you like white men, you weren't clear about it. You didn't say it's not because you were around them in West Hollywood. And let's just be very clear about the West Hollywood thing. That's predominantly white. So you're not around black men. OK, you're around white men. But at the end of the day, you feel as these men in Hollywood, they're no different than the black guys that go and get white women or any other women when they feel successful. They feel that white is more superior at the end of the day. So they get their high paying jobs, they get their careers, and they go and date white men, okay? And so at the end of the day, that old BS about, you know, learning how to love and sit, no, you don't like black men. Yeah. And many black men do this. And I'm starting to realize they have a certain look to them. Like now I can see a black gay guy and be like, he don't like black guys. He like white boys.
You look like you would like a white boy.
I like them black. I like them black, baby. Black with the clappers. I don't want no pink meat.
Oh.
I need such a season, baby. And I need it thick and kerfuffle.
Oh, Al, do you like pink meat?
What? Al, don't get me going. Done with that.
I like it medium well. Let's see. No, I agree 100%. In my experience, I can just speak in my experience with what Armand is saying. It's so sad because I also feel like a lot of the very successful black men in Hollywood feel like they have to have a non-black person on their arm in order to be successful and to be endeared in Hollywood. And I just find it very sad. You don't move from somewhere and then when you're just all around white people, you say, oh, okay, now I'm interested or I date white people. No, you know what your preferences are. You know what you like. You date what you like, period. Me, I date people of color. That's what I like. I mean, so for him to say, oh, I went to West Hollywood. Well, first of all, I wouldn't go to West Hollywood to find a date because West Hollywood don't have no black people in it.
No. And then he tried to blame homophobia on the fact right. that he was, you know, attracted to white men. It's like homophobia does not make me want a white man. That's like, I mean, am I going to blame racism on wanting black men? You know what I'm saying? It's just crazy.
Yeah.
You know, it's not even just in the gay community. It's just the industry, period. And that's what I hate. It's like, why are we assisting at devaluing our own, like making that appear that it's less than when other races are dying to have sex with black men and dying to be around black men, you know, but our own are running away from it, which is nuts to me. I love seeing a beautiful black couple. Not saying there's nothing wrong with being like, if you love who you love, but all these like, you know, kind of excuses of why you're not, and you know, I'm just open. I don't know about all that.
Let me just ask this question real quick. I want to ask Armand this question real quick. Sorry, Justin. I know we got to go. Just really quickly, do you feel like though in the West Hollywood community, in the white community, do they really like us or do they sexualize us?
Okay, wait. Think about it. We're gonna take a break.
Okay,
and when we come back. Are the people in West Hollywood sexualizing black men on TGIF? When we come back, coming up, we have your T fact of the day and later find out why an NBA prospect is under fire. We'll be right back. Welcome back to TGIF. Before we went to break, we were talking about black men in Hollywood and West Hollywood and are black men being sexualized in the gayborhood, that's what we call it, right? That's what they call it in Dallas. It's called the gayborhood. What do y'all think? Do you feel sexualized in that area? Like you're fetishized?
Well, I wanted to ask Armand that. I mean, from LA.
I feel like that happens not even just here, just everywhere. Like even like San Francisco, West Hollywood, wherever there's the predominant gay like scene, they're majority white and they hyper-sexualize black men, specifically dark-skinned black men because they feel as though, you know, you've got the long thing, you got the thick lips, the thick thighs, and they want you to be their, you know, their slave boy.
Daddy.
Like, and it, yeah, and it goes down to like adult content and all of that. It's a whole rabbit hole of sexualizing black men. So absolutely, it's a thing. And then they try to pay you for it because they feel like you're broke. Right.
Oh,
so they get you with like money and opportunity, and they feel like, little black boy, you broke, you need it, but I'll show you a better life, you know. And many of us, we take it. And I can't tell you how many black boys I see at the Abbey with these old white men just sitting in their face, but acting like they loving them and stuff, but just to get their rent paid or just to get, you know, something.
Remember,
have you ever taken it?
No. I never did it before. I thought about it, though.
Be careful. Remember years ago, that old white man who was a political donor? He was
drugging people.
Yeah, that was one of my boys. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was really sad. Okay. Well, I'm sure we'll talk more about that in the future. Let us know if that changes. I might end up taking that money.
I take no money.
Okay. All right. We can all agree that social media tends to resurface some of the most random facts in pop culture history. So it's only fair that we unpack those facts in our tea fact of the day. Okay. All right, today's tea fact of the day will focus on the shocking drama that took place behind the scenes of the hit show Family Matters. Now, actress Jo Marie Payton, who played the role of Harriet Winslow, shared that the original focus of the show was centered around the family, but immediately changed once Jaleel White's character Steve Urkel became a fan favorite. Now, Steve Urkel was supposed to appear as a one-time only character, but the fans enjoyed his humor so much that the showrunner changed the dynamic of the show. Jo Marie Payton shared that she was upset about the decision, which sparked drama behind the scenes. What are your thoughts on this tea fact of the day, Al? What do you think?
Al. Oh, you asked me. Okay, sorry. You know, this is so hard, right? Because your show was built around a certain concept, right? And then someone's introduced and the whole concept has changed, and now it's all about that person. So if I was not that person that it changed to be about, of course I would feel some kind of way. If I was the person that it changed about, of course I would be like, let me be the star. And that is exactly what happened. And it's unfortunate because that entire cast was super talented. All of them, to me, were breakout stars amongst themselves. But unfortunately, given what was going on at that time, you know, Urkel just happened to be the biggest star. It was what people were interested in the most. So people like Jo Marie Payton had to take a back seat. Can you imagine being in the industry for so long, finally getting this role, you know, finally being profiled as, you know, the future mother of the Black of the African American community, but then again you have to be sit back because now there's someone who's more comical, more relatable, and more fun getting all the shine. Hey, I'm not mad at her for feeling some kind of way.
It's definitely understandable. Armand, what do you think?
I think it happens all the time. And I think at the end of the day, I mean, instead of being upset, understand that, you know, how many seasons did they have? 6, 7, 8. Like, it went for a long time. Perhaps the show wouldn't have ran that long without Urkel. So at the end of the day, just, you know, sometimes lightning strikes. And it's that person's moment, but just be glad that you were able to be a part of it. And they ate off of it too. Like, we know the whole family, but sometimes, you know, it's that person's moment, and you just have to understand that this is what made the show what it is. Okay. Yeah. You know, we can talk about the past all we want and what it should have been, but we probably wouldn't even know them, or their Family Matters would even been that kind of show had this not moment never happened. So they should be thankful in hindsight.
I agree with both of you. I think it's a thing like your heart versus your mind, right? Like, your heart would be broken, like, oh my, and your ego, like, what? Right. I didn't sign up for this kind of show. I didn't sign up for a silly show. I signed up for it to be more of a, you know, whatever. But then I also am also from the school of, if it's going to make, if I'm going to be part of a successful team and I'm part of that winning team, I'm still part of the success. Okay, the spotlight might not necessarily be on solely me, but whatever it is, like with this show, I don't care who they think the star is. As long as y'all watch the show and our numbers up.
Everybody knows that Michelle is the star.
That's
right
what I'm
here.
Saying. That's what I'm saying. You think Michelle mad? Michelle, I'm still part of Destiny's Child.
Right.
I'm the Michelle in this group. Everybody knows I'm the star. I'm the star.
But you know, it's like, I think the sooner people get over that part, the more longevity you'll have in the business when you're okay with being a role player, but you're playing a role in a successful team.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
because try to go do it by yourself and see what happens. It doesn't always work. It's the mixture and the combination. I don't think Urkel may have worked on another show like that. It worked with that group because you all were part of it. Gotta look
at look at that great cast though. You got Darius, you got Joe Marie, all of them were just so freaking talented.
And then a lot of times, yeah, you see the star, but then okay, that person has their moment. Then people get over that. Then they want to start digging into everybody else because they want to know, well, who's that person? What does that person do? So everybody individually ends up getting their moment, you know, in different areas. So I just think I would have loved to be a part of that cast. And I didn't have to be Urkel. Like, I don't have to be the star.
Why does Kev, he hated, try going up to him today and call him that. He will cuss you out. He will cuss you. He does not like it. Now, Joe Marie Payton also discussed a moment that almost led to a physical altercation between her and Jaleel White. So, maybe they created a monster. Was he feeling, let me find out he was feeling himself on set. Was you wilding out? See, that's another problem. The star usually gets a big head and then people don't even end up liking them at the end. All right, let's get back to some more topics. That was interesting. Keep it locked because coming up next, find out why a college basketball player is facing backlash. And later, we are playing a fun game of Guess the Stash. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show. All right, college basketball player and top NBA prospect Jared McCain is catching heat after signing a deal with beauty and nail polish brand Sally Hansen. Now, Jared is known for painting his nails like many other ball players, but social media refuses to accept the trends. What are your thoughts? And Al, you recently had your nails painted in honor of Dwayne Wade, right? I saw you kind of like flashing some colors, dark, like black.
Yeah.
Okay,
Actually, I painted my nails just the same way that Jared did because he painted one hand white and one hand blue. For the Oscars, I painted one hand white and one hand black. I find this just so refreshing. Claudia, I gotta be honest. I find this so refreshing to find straight men who are athletes, who are role models in our community, telling and redefining what masculinity is. And then on top of that, he is the second highest paid of all athletes in any sport behind LeBron James' son, who's getting $4.3 million. He's getting $1.5 for this deal with Sally Hansen on selling nail polish. Brilliant, smart on so many different ways. He's speaking and he's educating the youth in so many different ways. And I absolutely cannot find anything negative to say about this young man's decision.
Okay, Armand, what do you think?
Listen, I'm not a huge fan of the color. I'm not mad at men because I have a nail appointment after the show. But, you know, so I'm here for it. But my thing is, where does it go from here? Because I feel like it doesn't stop here. Then first it's just regular, you know, polish. Then it's cut. Then it's color. Then it's gel. Then does it become a little short acrylic? Then does it become a French tip? Like, you know, like when do we stop? You know, when does it become too much? So I just hope that we pick a space and we stop there.
That's really weird coming from you.
I don't want no man. Like,
why would you want to govern? And listen, just open forum here, not arguing with you. I'm just saying that's really weird. You are a person that wants self-expression to be appreciated, to be uplifted, and to be understood. So for you to put a limit on another person's ability to do the same is just very awkward to me. So explain to me, Claudia, what that means.
Well, I want Claudia to get in here.
Yeah, thank you. you know what? I think when you are into self-expression, that doesn't mean you have to like everything that you see. It doesn't mean I can just do anything. And it's like, oh, self-expression, you have to be okay with it because I don't like it either. I don't. And I'm allowed to not like it. Just like if I saw a white girl with box braids and like with the Africa symbol around her neck, I'd be like, oh, that's a little bit of a cultural, a little bit of appropriation. I still feel that way. And I don't have to like it on you. I'm not stopping you. Do your thing. I do find it weird that a man gets a Sally Hansen nail polish deal before a woman. But hey, it's 2024. It's opposite year. Anything goes. Al, you want to paint your nails white, black, pink, French tip? I don't think you would do that, though. You are entitled to do that. But everyone don't have to like it.
Well, I'm not. No. I wasn't saying about whether
you like it. Thank you, Claudia.
That wasn't what my question was. My question was not him that not he didn't like it. Why didn't he support it? You don't have to like it, but it's just weird that you would be so supportive of other people in your lifestyle and how you want people to support your expressions, right?
I support the nails. I'm just saying, as fashion, as history shows itself, it started off as just men just getting their, you know, regular clear gel. Then it started to turn into, you know, black nails. Then it was one pinky nail. Now it's a full set of color. Now it's red. Now it's white. So where do we go from here? Does it become a French tip? Does it become long acrylic nails? Does it
long acrylic nails? We see what's his name with that hangs out with.
But
Carisha. We're
talking about. But that's a man dressing like a woman. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about men that look like you and I. I don't want to see a man looking like you and I or my dad with stiletto nails on or matte nails. I don't want my little brother that's playing basketball in college to one day come up to me and have a French tip because it's 2027. I just don't. I'm not here for that. I totally get it.
I totally understand. It's just I'm just telling you how I feel. It's just kind of weird that we want to be governed in one era. We don't want to be governed in one way. So if a young black gay man wants to be young black gay, loud and proud, then we don't want him to be judged. However, this man out here who's expressing himself in his loud way that he wants to, we're then saying, okay, when is it enough? So that's all I'm asking. That's it. That's all I'm saying.
I appreciate seeing men presenting in traditionally masculine ways and call me old fashioned. I don't give a damn. I've been called worse things by better people. And it is okay. I love when I see like Armand, Al, I do like that y'all are, you know, in the community, but it's not like we're not looking the same. Because eventually that's where it's going.
Right. You're not going to catch me up here with no wigs on and no makeup. It's never given that.
Thank
it's
you.
Never given that for me because I'm not going to give you a circus just to give a show. You know what I mean?
And it plays into the stereotype. Like that's what this show was born about. Like it was like bred for that. It was created for that. Like a show where men, gay men, or even just men, aren't just like in a gimmicky way, like, you know, okay, I'm flamboyant in my personality, so let me put nails on and lashes and this and that. It's okay to still present masculine.
Yeah,
I love that presentation. I love, you know, looking like a man.
I think it makes you more interesting because I'm like, oh, I didn't really know what you, okay. And that is not okay. Before y'all get in the comments and say Claudia's homophobic, no, I'm just nails on a man phobic. Okay. So go ahead and nail me to the cross for that. Okay. All right. Anyways, coming up, we're playing a fun game of Guess the Stash. I hope there's no girls in this. We'll be right back. Welcome back. All right. Clothes, nails, and hairstyles seem to be the topic of conversations when it comes to the brothers, especially lately. But did you know that mustaches are a trend among celebrities as well? Tonight, we're going to put your trivia skills to the test and guess the man behind the mustache in a fun game we like to call Guess the Stash. All right, let's cue the music. First up, this man behind the stash is an actor that starred alongside Diana Ross in Lady Sings the Blues. Can you guess the stash?
Billy Dee Williams.
I'm going to go with Al because he's the resident senior in the building.
Where are my fans? Get him.
He liked that mouth. That's Billy Dee Williams. Is that the answer?
That's what I say.
Billy Dee Williams. That's a yes, Al. Okay.
Now you got it.
Next up, the media mogul behind this stash had a self-titled sitcom back in the day, and it was recently called out by Cat Williams. Can you guess the stash?
Steve Harvey.
Okay. The brothers behind these stashes were a part of the hit group, The Whispers. Can you guess the brothers behind the stash?
I don't know who that is. That looked like.
One
that looked like. That looked like Beyonce's daddy.
Yeah, I mean, like Matthew Knowles.
Yeah.
Scotty Wallace. Scotty is one of them from The Whispers, and I don't know the other one.
I have no idea.
Armand's daddy. Hey, Pops. Walter and Wallace Scott. A lot of inside jokes tonight. Okay. The comedian behind The Stash was awarded the Mark Twain Prize for American Humor by the John F. Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts. You guessed the man behind The Stash.
Eddie Murphy. That looked like Eddie Murphy.
I think so. Eddie Murphy. All right.
He's so handsome.
Oh, okay.
Really?
Yeah, I've always thought Eddie Murphy was handsome. Okay. And his ex-wife too, Nicole Murphy.
Beautiful.
Beautiful.
That's my girl. Okay. Mike Epps was originally chosen to play this late comedian in a biopic.
Definitely don't know that. How?
That's Richard Pryor.
Oh, Richard Pryor.
Mm-hmm.
They talked about it. Oh,
okay. I would have never guessed that.
Mike Epps was gonna play him and then the family kind of fell apart. All right, last but not least, this actor played the first iconic role of Shaft in 1971. Be quiet, Armand. Can you guess The Stash? Now I'm playing with you.
Ow.
Shaft. Well,
Claudia, 1971. Give me a hint besides the Shaft. He's the main character of the Shaft?
Yeah. They don't tell me the answer. Is that Roundtree? Is that Richard? Is it?
Yeah, okay. Then it is him.
Richard Roundtree. Hey, yes.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. That was fun. Okay. We felt old on that one. All right. Let's get back to some topics. That was fun. Okay. Enes from Making the Band officially recently opened up about the number one sacrifice in the music industry. I hope we are mature enough to do this story.
The cheeks. Because the cheeks is a higher form of concentration for them. When they take your cheeks, it's like them taking your manhood and making them more man than you because they took your cheeks.
It's like a psychological.
It's like yo, I took a young ass. I f***ed him, so he not more man than me.
Are you shocked? And have you guys ever sacrificed anything to get to the next level, Al?
I knew you were going to throw to me first.
I go back and forth.
I just got to say this. Sorry. That's the most ridiculous rhetoric I have ever heard. It's very straight male rhetoric with, you know, and they know what they're saying. I disagree. I would say that my experience, I don't know about Iman's experience, it's not my cheeks they want. They trying to get my, you know, they trying to suck on my, you know what. They're trying to get that put in them. It's not, they want to play with my, you know what. They're not trying to play with my cheeks. So that's what straight men, that's what they think homosexuality is, getting, you know, someone taking your cheeks. And when in reality, if your premium in the gay community is not your cheeks, well, in my experience, Armand's might be different, but your hierarchy is based off of your, am I allowed to say penis?
Yeah, peen. Just say peen.
Peen. Yeah. So Armand, in the business for me, it's always been, can I get some of the peen? It ain't never been, can I get some of the cheeks?
Okay.
First of all, I thought this was funny because I think I agree 100% with Al. Like, this is like what straight people think. This is how they talk. You know, I take cheeks for a living. You know, and I love it, but it's not in a way to emasculate anyone. You know, it's right. Fun. You know, we do it. That's part of our life. So it's not, it doesn't mean anything like that to me. You know, that's just how we have sex. But at the end of the day, what people will find out when it comes to straight people, when it comes to Hollywood, when it comes to conspiracy theories, these men in power, they want to submit. They want to be bound up. They want to be throat gagged. Yeah. They want to be sodomized. Like, it's a thing. Like, you go with that. Like, ooh. They want to be emasculate. In the most masculine, burliest men want to be feminine. Like, they will have on panties and a crop. Like, they want to feel like women. This is like
this
the thing.
Is this coming from personal experience, Armand?
I'm just saying, even when we allegedly talk about Diddy, I don't see Diddy just being a cheek taker. I see Diddy, if he's going to get into it, being on his knees, doing a little sucky-sucky, and bending over.
Well, I mean, you know, Cassie said that it had to be a man with a huge.
That's what I'm saying.
He didn't say a huge
rump.
But
no,
he said
you get
huge,
that from a woman.
Right. Penis.
That's the power. That's it. The power.
I think I said
that. And they want to feel that pressure, baby.
Arbonne, are we agreeing on something today?
Yes.
You know, this ain't my ministry. I'm not a gay man. I'm not a man. I just think about the things that I hear, the stories that I hear. I do hear people talking about taking, and I hear people talk about giving. You know what? I ain't in it. How about that?
Well, that's just the old school thought process. Oh, if you gay, you got it. You must be bending over. That's right. No, that's that straight red. That's not that. Oh, yeah. That's that jailhouse.
But what are they talking about? Like taking masculine, like you know. And I, when I hear about taking masculinity, I don't just only think about gay men. I think about like men that are trying to overpower other men, like in jail. You know, and they come out, they're like, I'm not gay, but they felt like they took someone's masculinity. I didn't think of it as just a homosexual conversation that he was saying.
I think that in the context in which he was discussing it, I think he missed the mark.
Okay.
Like, it's not, when you're in those rooms, those people like Arbonne are saying, they don't want your cheeks.
They want your mouth. Okay, let's try to finish this. Let's get to this last thing. Before we go, let me get your thoughts real quick on this post from Hollywood Unlocked. It says, how many dates should you go on before making things official? Arbonne, let's go to you.
I don't know if I have a number of dates. It's more of a vibe thing. I think maybe it'd be a number of months. Maybe I feel it's, yeah. I don't know. I think it's time. Like, I just got to feel you out. It's got to make sense to where it's like, okay, the stars are aligned. The energy is there. The vibes are there. Let's make it official. I don't know if it's a number of dates though.
Okay. Al.
So what I do, I don't know that I'd give it a number, but I will say that I don't take anything serious until 90 days.
Oh, okay.
I need consistency, right? Mm. I need consistency. So we can have fun. We can joke. We can talk on the phone, but I need a good 90 days.
I am an Aries and we kind of just go for it. And sometimes we're reckless. I got married to someone after a couple months. That was a mistake. I will say vibes once again. And when you feel comfortable, because you could fall in love with someone you think or feels like you're falling in love very early, or it could be years and you're like, I still don't feel it. So I think it's an individual personal decision. All right. I want to thank my co-host Al Reynolds and Arbonne Wiggins for joining me tonight. Thanks for watching us on YouTube. Stay tuned for Street Flavor, and y'all have a great weekend and protect them cheeks and that mouth, right? I don't know.
Absolutely.
You protect your cheeks.
I'm going to get my cheeks.